Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth. It is from that time forward good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. I want to preach this morning on this thought. Salt makes the difference. Salt makes the difference. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time together this morning? And I pray, God, it'll be fruitful. Help us, Lord, this is a message really to Christians. And I pray that we'll be the salt of the earth that we should be, and see some truths this morning to kind of help us to be a better witness for you. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody in here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that today will be the day of their salvation. I pray, Lord, for maybe someone sitting at home that doesn't know Christ as their Savior that watches this morning or down the road a little bit, that Holy Spirit of God, you would convict their heart and that they'd be saved. I pray for someone sitting at home who is salt. They're saved. They're salt. That's not going to change, but they're not doing what they ought to be doing right now as a child of God. Help them, Lord, to fall under Holy Ghost conviction, get right with you. Bless, I pray, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. If you're like me, I use salt on just about everything. How many of you love salt? I mean, there you go. You ever been to fast food restaurant? Miss Lacey, you still work over at Whataburger. She's like a big boss. If you go over there, she wears a different color shirt than everybody else. She yells and screams at them. And little Miss Nice, quiet Miss Lacey. But I tell you what, she can toss a hamburger patty at an employee if they show up late. But have you ever gone to some of my favorite French fries? This is not an advertisement this morning. Some of my favorite French fries are Whataburger if they're cooked long enough. Amen, Miss Lex, remember that next time I drive through there. And then McDonald's. But have you ever had a batch of French fries and they didn't put enough salt on there? Have you ever had a batch of French fries and they put too much salt on there? Yeah, I like salt with just about everything. Of course, I'm a popcorn eater. I order my popcorn. I make it in a pan nearly every night of my life. I order it from Indiana. In fact, it's being shipped today. I'm a little bit nervous. It was supposed to be delivered last night. It may be sitting in the rain by the time we get home here in a little while. But, I mean, I have it perfected. I have it down. It's dry. Miss Audie doesn't like it. Sarah doesn't like it. But I do, and that's all that matters when it comes to my homemade popcorn. Miss Audie has a salt shaker that you turn. You know, you remember when we used to all be poor and we just had little salt shakers, and now we get fancy like. And the rocks all break up. And man, I love salt on my popcorn. I love salt on eggs. I'm not a big egg fan, but we have hens and they provide free food. And so Miss Audia makes scrambled eggs during the week, or she'll make fried eggs. But I've got to have salt on those eggs. Chips at restaurants. Amen. You got to have some salt. And now you got to beg for it. You got to give your blood to get a packet of salt from someone. I was at Jalapeno Tree. I think that's a thing over there in Canton. We were over there the other day. I took Miss Ogden. It's like, we don't have menus now, but if you'll use your phone, there's a code on there, and if it'll bring up the menu. That drives me nuts because I can never figure out how to open it up. But then at the end of the day, they want to bring you a thing and put it in your hand, and you're going to run your debit card, and you're going to punch the numbers. I'm like, hello? This is like, I should have been touching the menu. Could I get a witness? Anyways, but I want some salt on my chips. I want some salt on my mashed potatoes, on my French fries. The list could go on and on. I put salt on my cereal. Not really, but there are a lot of types of foods that are no good without salt. Amen. The first real mention of salt, now I want you to turn there to Genesis chapter number 19. Now, one time before Genesis 19, the salt sea is mentioned, but in Genesis chapter number 19, I want you to see the first real mention of salt in the Bible was when Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. I guess he could have sold her to a restaurant or something after that. But you remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And God told them, get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't look back. Lot's wife looked back there, Genesis 19, Verse number 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I can find nowhere where there's a logical explanation for why she became a pillar of salt. I really couldn't tell you why that. Some believe that Sodom and Gomorrah was where the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea is today. I was able to go to the Dead Sea 18 years ago when we were in 18 or 19 years ago now when I was in Israel. The salt concentration, turn this down a little bit, Brother Joe, it's still got to echo. The salt concentration in the Dead Sea is 34%. And you can float. You actually can float in the Dead Sea. You say, what 34%? How much is that? Well, if you've ever been to the ocean, Gulf of Mexico, the salt concentration is 3.5%. 3.5%. And if you've, Miss Audie and I love to snorkel. And boy, I tell you what though, you can get a mouthful of ocean water and feel like you're about to die. And, so 3.5%, whereas the Dead Sea is 34% salt, concentration. God instituted actually a covenant of salt in Leviticus 2, and it's mentioned again in Numbers chapter 18, most likely because of the preserving nature of salt. And so that would be a picture or a sign of a perpetual, unending covenant between God and man. Even Job, in the book of Job, Job made mention of salt as he made mention of the fact that salt made food taste better. That's truth from the Word of God right there. In Job 6, he said, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? God says in our text in Matthew chapter number 5 that Christians, you and I, are the salt of the earth. Look at chapter 5, verse 13 again. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, or his taste, his purpose, if you will, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth, or it is from that time, it is good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Now let me ask you a question. Would you like to be known as the salt of the earth, or would you rather in God's eyes want to be known as a good for nothing Christian? We can live a life on earth where one day when we stand before the Lord, we'll hear our Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or we'll live a life of wasted years where God himself says in his word that we are good for nothing. How does salt make the difference? Ye, that's us, ye are the salt of the earth. I want to give you 3 points this morning. How does salt make the difference? And I want to kind of do a kind of a Bible study with you, and I'll tell you where to turn and when to turn. But if you'll turn to Genesis chapter number 7 to begin with, Genesis chapter number 7, how does salt make the difference? Number one is this: salt is a preserver. Salt is a preserver. Salt has been used for preserving foods for centuries. If Christians are the salt of the earth, and we are, God says we are, then how do we relate to salt as a preserver? Now, I'm gonna give you the simple answer, and then we're going to do a quick Bible study. Here's the simple answer. This earth is preserved as long as the salt is here, as long as the Christians are here. When Christians are gone, are snatched away, are caught up, the rapture, when Christians are gone from this earth will be destroyed. Look at Genesis chapter number 7 with me. Let me give you some examples from Scripture. Number one is Noah. Noah, look at Genesis chapter 7 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And many of you know the story, the basic story of Noah and the flood. Verse number 5, Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his son's wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Someone sent me a meme the other day that had Noah's sons, all these animals were going onto the boat, and it had Noah's sons carrying a grill. They were ready to grill some of those deer or something. And Noah's like, sons, no, we can't do that. A good redneck meme. The Bible says how they entered that ark of clean beasts, verse 8, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah, male and female. Even animals know better. Male and female. That's in tonight's message if you come back. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And friend, in that day, God destroyed man from off the face of the earth outside of those that actually got into the ark. Now, we know for a fact that Noah tried to win others to Christ. He tried to get them into that ark by believing the truth of God, and he tried his best to warn them for decades of the impending flood, but they wouldn't listen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse number 5 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So he wasn't just a boat builder. He wasn't just an architect or a carpenter. The entire time he was preparing for that flood, by the way, the world had never seen a drop of rain at that moment. It had never rained upon the earth before the flood. And Noah's preaching, there's going to be a flood. It's going to rain. The fountains of the deep are going to open up. Water's going to come from everywhere. You're going to be destroyed. The day is coming. And they just laughed at Noah. And they mocked at Noah. But friend, listen, when God got his people protected in that boat, mankind was destroyed from off the face of the earth. Once the salt, the saved were secure, man was destroyed. Look at Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. And let's look at the scriptural example of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter number 18. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of their pride. They were destroyed because of their sodomy, their homosexuality. They were destroyed. But look at what the Bible says in Genesis 18 and verse number 16. The men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham? Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" So God is going to go ahead and show Abraham what he's about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like God showed Noah what he was going to do to the earth. Just like God has shown us in his word that there is a rapture taking place one day and no man knows the hour, and people need to be prepared for that rapture by knowing Christ as their Savior. All right, so God showed Abraham, the Lord said in verse 19, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." Skip on down to verse number 20. The Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." Wonder how grievous our sin is to God in our nation today. He says, "I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner." God said, "You're not going to, I realize what Sodom and Gomorrah is doing," but Abraham says, "God, you're not going to destroy the Christians, are you? You're not going to destroy the people of God, are you?" He goes on to say, verse 26, the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then will I spare all the place for their sakes." You see how a place is being preserved? And as long as salt is in that land, Abraham answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? He said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." He spake unto him yet again, said, "Peradventure there shall be 40 found there." He said, I'll not do it for 40's sake. Verse 30, he said unto him, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. He said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. God would have preserved Sodom. He says there, if he had found 10 saved people in that land, if he would have found 10 that were salt. And as far as we know, Lot was the only salt that we know of in Sodom. His daughters did wickedly. His wife turned back. And I know it's not a perfect picture of the rapture, but I do want you to know that God said, Lot, get out of this place. I'm about to destroy it. And the Bible says about Lot, even though he shouldn't have been there, and there's a lot of messages preached about Lot, but the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 about Lot, it says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, talking about Lot, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. But the Bible says he delivered Lot. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And friend, God loves the world, for God so loved the world. And he wants everyone to be saved. But it's left up to the free will of man to decide if they're going to receive Christ as their Savior or reject him in this life in exchange for their unrighteous living. One day time is going to be up. One day the curtain's going to close. One day the salt, the preservers will be snatched up, will be taken off of this earth. And then the destruction will begin with the tribulation period and will end with a global warming event like this world has never seen or even entered into their mind. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would. We're going to read several verses so you have time to turn there. 2 Peter chapter number 3. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You think while Noah was building that ark, he didn't have people making fun of him? You think as he was preaching, hey, judgment's about to fall, you need to be in the ark, you need to be saved? You think there weren't people saying, that's a bunch of nonsense, Noah, you've gone crazy? By the way, don't get your Bible doctrine from Hollywood. They know how to make money off of Christians. It's just like every rocker and country singer there is. When they get down to the end of their career, then they want to get in the pocketbooks of the Christians and make their gospel albums and make granny happy. Friend, listen to me. Back in Lot's day, the Bible says that his sons-in-laws treated him like one that was... I don't think Lot was living right in Sodom to begin with, so they basically laughed at him. His sons-in-laws, his family laughed at him when he said, we got to get out of here. God's going to destroy this place. All right, so people laugh at us today. Oh, I've always heard Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going, oh, I heard that from my grandmammy. I heard it from my grandpappy. I heard it from my parents. I've told my kids that. Hey, the Bible still says Jesus is coming back. Verse 5, for this they are willingly or ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. He says there, they're being ignorant of the fact, all it took was God said, go, and the floods flooded the earth. And all it's going to be is word, God saying, son, go get your children. And it's all over with. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, looking at verse number 7, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Don't let yourself get caught up in that and say, well, that means that it's going to be this many hundred or this many thousand. That's not what that means at all. And so many people try to put some date on something. Jesus said, no man knows when I'm coming back, only the Father which is in heaven. Verse 9, why has the Lord not come back yet? Because 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He didn't lie to us, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants more people to be saved. But, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, it's going to tie in here the rapture, the tribulation period, the millennial reign of Christ, the new heaven, the new earth. A lot is put in just a couple of scriptures, but let's watch the picture. The day the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And all those electric cars are going to melt. And all those solar panels are going to melt. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Friend, that's coming one day. But you and I don't have to worry about it because we're going to be in heaven. Amen. Amen. That doesn't mean go out and destroy the earth. Don't mess with Texas. Amen. Amen. Don't throw your trash all over the place. But this place is going to burn up one day. One day the curtain's going to close. One day time is going to be up. Ye are the salt of the earth. Salt is a preserver. As long as Noah and his family and anyone else that would listen, as long as they weren't on that ark, God didn't flood it. But once Noah and his family, the only ones that would listen, got on that ark, God destroyed man from off the face of the earth. And just a quick lesson. They didn't feel raindrops and then say, get on the boat. It didn't drop a drop of rain until Noah obeyed God. God said, Noah, get on the boat. Noah and his sons weren't fighting a flood to pull the door up. The Bible says God closed the door. Amen. Why is that so important? I'll tell you why. Because Noah probably had family out there and had friends out there and maybe some people that even worked on the boat with him outside that door. As a human being, he never would have been able to close that door knowing those people were about to be destroyed. And friend, listen, the rapture is not up to your timing or my timing or some false prophet here on earth. The rapture is up to God. And the same word that sent the flood is the same word, the word of God, that's going to send the rapture. Ye are the salt of the earth. Number one, salt is a preserver. So when this world mocks us as Christians, you ought to just almost wink at them. Be careful who you wink at these days. But you ought to just wink at them and say, buddy, the only reason you're still able to live your wicked, sinful life is because the people of God are still here on this earth. Because when the people of God are taken off of this earth, you're going to spend 7 years. And if you do live through it, you're going to get to a place in time where you're going to, according to the Bible, cry out for the rocks to fall on you. And you still will not be able to die. There'll be lots that'll die during the tribulation. But there'll come a time during the tribulation, men will want to die, will not be able to. So all you arrogant people that say, oh, you Christians this and you Christians that. And if we didn't have the churches in our town and the Christians in our nation, boy, we could all just live in harmony and peace. Buddy, we're the salt of the earth. We are preserving this place. And when the church of the living God is gone, you ain't seen nothing yet when it comes to the wickedness and the wrath of Almighty God falling upon this land. You're the salt of the earth. Salt is a preserver, number one. Number two is this: salt will make its presence known. Salt will make its presence known. Have you ever gotten salt in a cut? Oh, yeah. Have you ever clipped your fingernails and you just went a little bit too far? And then you sat down to eat your delicious, perfected, shipped from Indiana, Amish country, white kernel, medium kernel popcorn, and you forgot you cut it back too far, and then you put your finger down to that perfected, salted popcorn. You're going to know there's salt on there before you ever even taste it, right? That thing about coughing and sin, all that, was song leader stuff. How many of you have ever used a neti pot before? You know what a neti pot is? I'm a little teacup, short ends. Yeah, it's like a little, I don't know, teacup thing. All I can think of is that Beauty and the Beast went back in the 90s, that Chippy or whatever. But it's I'm not trying to be gross with you, but you put warm water in it, you mix salt, and you put it through your nostrils. Some of you call it something else, probably funnel, I don't know, water hose. But it works. When this time of year, when you start getting the allergy junk and all, and you warm the water up, and I'm not trying to be gross, but you lean over in the sink, and you got to get the right angle, and you put that neti pot, and buddy, if you put too hot of water, you about to feel it. But you mix salt in it. And if you put too much salt, you will know immediately when your nostrils begin to burn that the salt concentration is like that of the Dead Sea. But you put it in there. Again, I'm not trying to be gross to you. I only do that on Sunday nights. But you pour it in, and it comes running out the other nostril. And then you blow your nose 15 times. And then you do it again, and you put it in that nostril. Before I had my nose surgery, I put it in that nostril, and it just came back out the same nostril. But anyways, if you put too much salt, it will burn the fire out of your nostril, burn the back of your throat. If you don't put enough salt, though, you'll know it too. It's like, okay, I think it's like I was putting water in my nose. The salt is still there. Even when you put too much water in there, not enough salt. The salt is still salt, no matter what you do with salt. It's still there. But the salt to water ratio is such that the salt has been watered down. We got a lot of watered down Christians today. I'm saved. Remember, you're the salt of the earth. Salt will make its presence known. I'm saved, but I just want to blend in. I'm saved, but I don't want to really stir the pot. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but no one at work knows it. I'm saved, but people at school, they don't know it. And I'm saved, but you know, I don't like to flaunt it. It's not flaunting. It's saying I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm saved, but I don't want to stand out. I'm saved, but I don't want to lose friends. I want you to look at what Christ said about taking a stand as a Christian, taking a stand as salt. Look at Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. You're the salt of the earth. Luke 14, look at the end, towards the end of the chapter, verse number 25. Not only is salt a preserver, but salt will make its presence known. You say, I just don't want all my buddies to know that I'm saved. What are you ashamed of? Well, you know, I just don't want folks at work to know that I'm saved. You know, they might pick on me. They might mock me. Big deal. Luke 14 says this in verse 25, there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And we all know common sense. I don't have to get into all the details. God says, honor your father and your mother. He's not saying hate them. He's saying, but your love and your commitment to Christ ought to be such that no other relationship on earth even compares. Amen. Amen. He goes on to say, verse 27, whosoever did not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I wonder why so many lost relatives and co-workers make statements like this. Oh, they're just going through a phase. They're just going through their holy roller phase. Reason is so many have. So many have. They began and didn't finish. They're not finishing right. Verse 31, or what king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. God's saying, hey, count the cost. Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Look what God says here. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, Wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And God says, listen, salt should make its presence known, and you don't hide your Christianity. You count the cost, and you pay the cost, and you bear your cross, but the people at school need to know you're a born-again child of God. Your parents need to know that you're saved. Your grandkids need to know that you're saved. Your co-workers need to know that you're a child of God. He says, hey, make the salt what it ought to be. If I put the right amount of salt on my food, I won't have to ask if I salted it. I'll know. If we'll stand up and stand out as God desires us to as Christians, people won't have to wonder who we are and where we stand. In Acts 4, the disciples, the lost people said of the disciples there, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And it ought to be on Monday, we go to school, we go to work, and we get around the family, and people are able to take knowledge of us that, hey, we've been to church, and we've got some things settled, and we're still sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace, so we're going to have bad days. But what I'm saying to you is salt is not only a preserver, but salt ought to make its presence known. They ought to know. We ought to apologize when we have a bad day, but the world ought to know, hey, that's a Christian right there. That's a child of God. Salt is a preserver. Salt will make its presence known. And then lastly, number three, and I think you'd agree with me when it comes to food for sure, salt makes a difference. Salt makes a difference. He says there in our text in Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth. We're the preservers. When we're gone, this earth's in trouble. But if the salt have lost his savor, his taste, we ought to make our presence known. People ought to know we're children of God. Wherewithal shall it be? Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. Salt makes a difference. We ought to be making a difference here on earth by living a consistent Christian life and by being compassionate enough to tell the lost how they too can come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The Bible tells us in Jude 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Salt is a preserver. Go ahead, world, mock the Christians. Go ahead, world, try to legislate God out of society. Go ahead, world, tell us that we're the ones that are phobic this and phobic that, and we're hate-filled and all of this stuff, and we're brainwashed, and we're part of it. Go ahead and mock us. The only reason you're still here, still able to carry on your godless little life, is because the salt of the earth is still here. And salt is a preserver. Salt ought to make its presence known. Do your friends know that you're a child of God? Does your family know that you're a child of God? Do your co-workers know, hey, that person there, they've got a good spirit, they're a hard worker, but I tell you what, they're a good Christian too. Don't cuss around them. Don't try to tell a dirty joke to that one over there. Maybe they respect you now. Maybe they still mock you. It doesn't matter. Salt ought to make its presence known, but then as salt also, we ought to be making a difference. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'm going to read this and be done. 2 Kings chapter number 2 there in the Old Testament. I think we would all agree this morning that a life without Christ is a life of bitter waters. But you and I, as salt, the Bible calls us, can bring living waters to a thirsty lost sinner. And I just said to you, point number three, salt makes a difference. Let's see a scriptural illustration here. 2 Kings chapter number 2, Elisha. In verse number 19, the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord seeth, but the water is not. That word in that scripture means bad. The water is bad. The ground barren. He said, bring me a new cruse. Look what he says there. Put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed. And we know God did it, but what made the difference? Salt. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, if we're not, if, yeah, I'm saved, but, and you're always salt, but it's so watered down, you know. I don't want somebody to think I'm a Christian, so I'm not going to dress that way. And I don't want somebody to think I'm a Christian, so every once in a while I'm going to tell a bad joke. And I don't want somebody to think I'm, you know, going overboard in my Christianity. So every once in a while I'm going to post something on social media to make them wonder what side of the fence I'm on. And God says, if you're not doing what I need you to do as salt, you've become good for nothing. I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be the description of my life. Salt is a preserver. I'm not saying go out of here with arrogance with that in mind, but I would say go out of here with confidence that, you know what? Yeah, this world hates Christians and it's getting worse. But they wouldn't be able to enjoy. We'll cover some of this tonight in the, being the light of the world, but how dark this nation's getting. But they wouldn't be able to enjoy their wickedness if we weren't here. They better start thanking God for us. We're the salt of the earth. Salt's a preserver. When the world mocks you, they ought to be thanking you. As salt, we ought to make our presence known, be unashamed to be a Christian, to be a child of God. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. And then you're the salt of the earth. As salt, salt ought to be making a difference. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. Let me ask you a question. How are you living your Christian life today? God says you're the salt of the earth. Now, when I use that neti pot, or if you've ever gargled, you know, warm salt water, whatever, like I said, if you have too much water, not enough salt, you don't really taste the salt, but the salt is still there. So, aren't you glad that once saved, always saved? Aren't you glad that the day you trusted Christ as your Savior, you became a child of God, you got adopted into the family of God? That's wonderful. Because there are I don't deserve to be saved in the first place, but Christ died on the cross for my sin and for your sin. And there are days I don't deserve to get to stay saved, but that's not up to me. That's up to a God who said, I will in no wise cast out. And I thank God that He is always what I need Him to be. He's always what He promised He would be in His Word. Now I need to leave here this week and say, you know what? They're going to keep mocking us. And boy, I tell you, our preacher, the more they legislate from Washington, D.C., and all these equality acts and all this stuff, boy, one day our preacher might wind up in jail for some of the things he says. Hey, instead of cowering down and going to the church where they don't say anything but love, 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 someone that loves you will tell you the truth, amen, even when it hurts. We need to decide, you know what? God said, I'm the salt of the earth. Does everyone around me know that I'm a Christian? And am I doing anything to tell the lost around me that they too can be saved? You're the salt of the earth. If you're here today, you don't know Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you today, 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 today. We're family. We're friends. Whether you're a visitor, a church member, it doesn't matter. It's not a game. It's not, you've seen too much junk on TV. It's not a game. You need to be born again. You must be born again. And if God's working on your heart, hey, make today the day of your salvation. If you're a Christian, you say, I really have not been. You know, salt makes that difference. I tell you what, I've left a poor taste in people's mouth when it comes to Christianity. Maybe we need to get right with God. And as Paul said, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and man. Maybe there's someone we need to apologize to and say, you know what? I'm a Christian and I have not been acting like it around you. I want to ask you to forgive me. Ye are the salt of the earth.